Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We have four argued cases this morning and two that won't be argued. The first case is 21-1749, Lobolo Watts Constructors versus Secretary of the Army. Mr. Browdy, please proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning. This case involves a project called the Wideband Satellite Communications Operations Center at Fort Meade. This was being built for the National Security Agency.
Mr. Browdy, let's get right to the issue. We're talking about EP-601, right? And what that means.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And your argument is that it was latently ambiguous and that contra proferentum applied. But what's wrong with the conclusion that it's patently ambiguous and you didn't inquire about it? When I look at note two, it talks about furnishing and installing other items, but doesn't talk about circuit breakers. On the other hand, which favors you, on the other hand, if I look at note four, it says circuit breaker installed shall be compatible with the existing switch gear, which implies that the circuit breakers are yet to be installed and are required to be installed. So why doesn't that mean that document is patently ambiguous and that you had a duty to inquire but didn't?
Number one, Your Honor, we have to go back, if I may, to the original EP-601, which is found in Appendix 1047A. That is dated November of 2010 in small print. And what you see there is no note four, but you see in bold print the wiring of note two, furnish and install those conductors energizing the circuit breaker in the spare cubicles 5 and the spare cubicles 10. That was in place a month before EP-601 was amended, which is the note we're talking about. That is dated in small, in the revised notes, dated December of 2010, a month later. In that, you have to understand what a coordination study is. A coordination study is that basically you're trying to minimize any faults on the system. And what that was, that note, the purpose of that note to a reasonable contractor who is aware of the circumstances is, under the coordination study, is to include the circuit breakers, the main circuit breakers coming out of the switchgear that's producing the power into your short circuit study. The big item of why it's not even ambiguous, Your Honor, is the fact that there's no description of that existing short circuit study that the parties, or at least suppose, was in existence in spare cubicles 5 and spare cubicles 10. Basically, a switchgear is a bunch of cubicles that are put together that produces the power. The idea of a spare cubicle is that you're going to have a spare circuit breaker, you're going to have spare relays built in, you're going to have a current transformers built in, which is when you need an additional power.
Counselor, it looks like you have a story to tell, but you're not indicating, not responding to the question about EP 601.
Well, I am, Your Honor. There's nothing ambiguous about it. It says that the circuit breaker is installed in the spare cubicles 5 and 10. It says it, and that's the plain language, is installed. Now, it also says that it must be coordinated with the rest of the circuit, with the rest of the switchgear. The rest of the switchgear means that it has to have the same settings, the right settings with the relays, the right settings with the current transformers that are already installed in the switchgear. The coordination study that actually was when it was identified as to what these circuit breakers were, which took 4 months to procure, to identify what those circuit breakers were and to procure them. Once those circuit breakers were in fact identified in May of 2013, which is years later, and it was part of the short circuit study, it produced an incompatibility. And then the government realized that they have to change the relays that are embedded into these cubicles 5 and well, in this case, 5 and 11.
Alto, what about the Bold 52?
The Bold 52, if you look at the original drawings, it was bold because you have to energize the circuit breaker. You have to energize that, all right? And that the circuit breaker is lying there as a spare circuit breaker. It's a pull-out circuit breaker. I'm an engineer also. That gets pulled out of the drawer or the cabinet. All right, and again, you basically have to connect those circuit breakers in order to energize it. And that's why you have the bold lines. The bold lines are new work. The board was actually right. The bold lines are new work. But the whole idea is the original drawings back when the job was issued back in November of 2010, those lines were bolded without note number four. If you look at those drawings side by side, note number four was added a month later. And the idea
what is your best evidence that you have that Lobola Watts understood when bidding that the circuit breakers were already installed?
Okay. One is that in for the first 2 years, there was no submittals. You had to submit all your electrical and mechanical components way before the construction started. There was nothing on the submittal data. The government never asked for any submittals on the circuit breakers. It was not until January of 2013 when the parties, or I'll say the government, the core people, as well as the contractor, were allowed to visit the National Security Agency, a site which had the original switchgear, Building 8905, And that in January of 2013, 2 years after these drawings were issued, they discovered that these circuit breakers were existing, but they were being used by the National Security Agency for other purposes. And it was the National Security Agency that says, oh, no, wait a minute. You, Mr. Contractor, you have to get these additional circuit breakers. To answer your question, Your Honor, there was nothing in the schedule about it. There was nothing in the submittals about it. I clerked on the court when it was Jones was the chief judge. I clerked for Davis and I clerked for Whitaker. I go back a long time, and what they all always stated about, I'll say 60 years ago, I don't remember, back in 65 or 55 years ago, they stated the best interpretation is to see how the parties acted. And that's how the parties acted for 2 years. No, if this was so critical, nobody was alerted to the problem until they visited this secured site. And they found out, the agency, the using agency, is using the circuit breakers that is in spec compartments 5 and 10. Well, now it was 5, so you can use 11, and 5 was on the floor for other purposes.
Mr. Bry, this is Judge Bryson. If we rule against you on the circuit breaker issue, and decide that the circuit breakers were Lobolo's responsibility, can Lobolo prevail on the Warner and Warch pass-through claims?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. And in light of, as I read it, the requests to the contracting officer on behalf of Warner and Warch appear to be limited to the circuit breaker delay issues. And I'm looking at the claims at 2158 and 996 of the joint appendix.
And you're absolutely right, Your Honor. What Watch and Warner was saying is that we can't start up and test our mechanical and electrical systems without permanent power. You can't use temporary power because you void or your equipment warranty. Okay, so you have to have permanent power to start it up. It takes about 3 months to operate it, to test it, and commission. Okay, so it is critical. What they were saying is it's a lack of permanent power. So the first issue was these circuit breakers. The circuit breakers delayed the job between February of 2014, a month after they went out there, and May, the end of May of 13, I'm sorry. It's all 13.
Right, but if the circuit breakers were the responsibility of Lobolo, then all that delay is not attributable to the government, right?
The 4 months. But what is attributable to the government is the delays that resulted from having a faulty relay. The relays could not work in a coordinated study.
But the relays were not part, the relays, as I read the requests for payment to the contracting officer, that did not include the relays. It was limited to the circuit breakers and the delay attributable to the circuit breakers, right?
No. Not at all, Your Honor. The relays could not be set properly to work in a coordinated fashion. So the relays had to be replaced by the government. The government acknowledged that that was their responsibility.
Now, the relays were the subject, as I understand it, of Mod 16, right?
No, the relays were... And Mod 16 is wrong. Mod 16 was only having a third-party testing. For $2,000, they had to test the new relays. The new relays with third-party testing, it is, I think it was a BD as part of 16. That's all it was $2,000 for the third-party testing.
Mod 16, as I recall, was about $35,000, right?
Right, but it was other work, too. Besides, it was only a couple of $1,000. It had no time extension whatsoever. The parties agreed that it had no time extension. Where there was an agreement was the contract. Let me get my numbers right. It was the contract DX.
Yeah, mod 30, also called DX.
Mod 30.
Right.
That's where the parties sat down like they were supposed to under 3.7 of the scheduling clause. All right. And 3.7 of the scheduling clause says after the delays occurred, which ended in December of 2013, just before Christmas, at the end of the year, December 2013, they finally got permanent power. All right. The parties sat down, according to their scheduling clause, looked at the schedules, did a time impact analysis, and agreed that there was a delay of 212 calendar days because of the government fault. The government fault on the relays, which is 7 months. Making it approximate for the relays, for the phasing was wrong. That means that where the connections were was wrong.
Counselor, you're well over your allotted time. Why don't we hear from the other side now? Mr. Volk.
May it please the court. The board's decision should be affirmed. Lobola Watts relies on an unreasonable interpretation of the contract. It wants to read in the note at issue the word installed in isolation, but under Lobola Watts' reading of the word installed, that sentence doesn't make sense. The sentence refers to making sure that the circuit breakers are compatible with, says shall be compatible with existing switchgear. If the circuit breakers were just like the existing switchgear, an upstream component that was not within the contractor's scope of work, there wouldn't be any way in which the contractor could make sure that they're compatible between the two. So the note just doesn't make sense if it's read the way Lobola Watts wants to read it. If extrinsic evidence were consulted, it doesn't assist Lobola Watts. When the issue came up, Lobola Watts took the position, the same position as the government with Lobola Watts' subcontractor. Lobola Watts told the subcontractor, we purchased from you these exterior utilities. You need to do them. You need to supply these circuit breakers because they're within the contract scope of work, our scope of work. Lobola Watts only changed its position later, actually during the course of the board proceedings, to accommodate the subcontractor's claims. And even if there were some ambiguity that wasn't resolved by extrinsic evidence, it is a obvious and glaring ambiguity, if there is one at all, and we don't think there is, so the patent ambiguity doctrine would apply. And even if the patent ambiguity doctrine doesn't apply, the doctrine of contra preferentum can't apply because, as the board found, and Lobola Watts fails to really genuinely challenge, Lobola Watts didn't establish that it relied on its own interpretation of this contract provision at the time of its bid. In fact, the evidence is to the contrary, where when the issue came up, Lobola Watts had the same understanding, at least as it expressed to its subcontractor, as the government.
Counsel, what's your understanding of the scope of Lobola Watts' delay claims?
So the delay claims are these subcontractor pass-through claims. And as to the scope that is, was presented to the contracting officer originally, those claim letters talk about the circuit breakers, and that's it. And, you know, the government's response was, it's not clear how this even has anything to do with the mechanical contractor, the HVAC subcontractor. But in any case, in the proceedings, in the board proceedings, Lobola Watts, and just before the court in its argument just now, Lobola Watts doesn't make that clear distinction. It doesn't really distinguish between the circuit breakers versus the relays and other things that were involved in getting the permanent power. And that was part of the problem for Lobola Watts. As the board noted, it doesn't break out the different causes by day. It just treats this whole thing as one big permanent power delay, which it says the government's responsible for, when in fact what the board found was that for every day that this project was delayed, there was a day of delay attributable to the contractor. And so that's an independent reason. The board found 353 days, the entire duration of the delay in the project was attributable to contractor caused delays. It's an independent reason why there can't be any recovery for compensable delay. If it was concurrent with a contractor caused delay, there's no possibility of the contractor being entitled to recover compensation. And there's no real challenge to that in this case, that there was that concurrent delay, as the board found. Another thing is not...
I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish your point. I have a question, though, when you finish.
I just wanted to make another point that the scope of the challenge in this appeal also doesn't include any real challenge to the board's determination that these circuit breakers did not delay the project. And so that's another reason why the outcome can't change based on the arguments Lobola wants to make.
Now, what about, you touched on the relays briefly, but is it your position that the subcontractor's claims with respect to the relays were wrapped up in Mod 16, which does, unlike Mod 30, which does not reference the subcontractors, Mod 16, as I recall, does.
Right. So Mod 16 includes the total release, no changes, no murkiness there, but it is potentially there's a room to argue about what the scope of what was covered was there.
Right. Now, what I'm asking about is what in your view is covered by Mod 16?
It's from the government's perspective, to the extent that Lobola Watts will not segregate out its claim and it just treats it all as one permanent power claim, it's difficult for us to see how that modification 16 doesn't cover everything. If you look in the appendix at page 5453, this is a summary of what was included in it's part of that mod 16. It talks about things, number five is conduct a breaker trip test. So that includes some relationship between the breakers and the other components of that. It talks about the relays certainly were part of that. It talks about outages for testing. And so from the government's perspective, what happened at the board was Lobola Watts came in and it did not break out circuit breakers versus relays versus other things. And so as a result, the government did make the argument that here we have this modification A16. There are none of these questions about subcontractors or not subcontractors. There's an unequivocal release. And to the extent that that's going to be Lobola Watts' position, that should count as a accord and satisfaction as to that permanent power claim.
Now, Mr. Ockman, your expert, in his report, he points out that there are various periods of government delay, including, for example, the 18 days attributed to the relays, and I think this is the second set of relays, and the out-of-phase, what is the out-of-phase conductors, I guess. Is it your position that he was wrong in attributing those delays to the government?
No, we don't take that position. The government entirely presented his expert report, and the board found it very credible. And so the distinction here.
Then is it concurrent delay in your view?
Right. And so the government did take responsibility in this project for government delays. It granted compensation. It granted delay time for various reasons. But for the contractor to come in and get money. Money is different than just a time extension. For the contractor to get compensable delay, more money, the contractor has to show that it wasn't concurrent with a contractor delay, that the project wouldn't have been delayed to that extent for any other reason than the government's unreasonable delay. And that just can't happen here. So that's exactly right. As we see it, any government caused delay was concurrent with a contractor-caused delay, and so there's just no possibility of compensation for delay for the contractor.
Well, now, claim Mod 30 makes, I think, a dispersal to Lobolo of, I think it was about $252,000 in addition to the, 212 days. But that was the mod, if I recall correctly, in which there was a discussion between the parties in advance of the entry of the mod that indicated that the subcontractors would not be included within the mod. And in fact, the mod, unlike 16, did not include reference to the subcontractors. Why isn't that itself a demonstration that the subcontractors are not, in fact, bound by any surrender of rights in Mod 30?
Well, I think that the underlying issue that confuses the whole problem here is that the subcontractors don't have rights against the government. Only the prime.
I understand that, but they do have pass-through rights that Lobolo can enforce. And if their pass-through rights were not extinguished by Mod 30, what consequence flows from that, I guess, is my question. You treated Mod 30 as if they had included the waiver of the subcontractors' separate rights. But I think the discussion between the government and the contractor in advance of the entry of Mod 30 makes that a hard argument to make.
So, and just to clarify, that the government's position before the board on accord and satisfaction, it was only on Mod 16. So the government, Lobolo Watts correctly points out, the government didn't come in. Based on what happened there, the government didn't come into the board and say that those later modifications should bar these subcontractor claims.
But I understood your brief before us to be saying that the subcontractors' claims are barred by Mod 30.
We are not going to tell this court that the board erred in making the finding it did. Because here's what happened before the board. Lobolo Watts showed up to the board with language that the board read it, and on its face, the words subcontractor were taken out, but on its face, the board read that language and failed to see how there was any carve out there from the plain language. And Lobolo Watts' response was, well, we had a side agreement with the government. And the board's resolution of that was, I'm not going to go look for a side agreement. I read the plain language here and can't see how you carved it out. So from our perspective now, we're not going to agree with Lobolo Watts that the board made a mistake based on what was presented to it.
Well, you may not, but if we should conclude that Mod 30 had no effect to defeat the subcontractors' pass-through claims, what is your best argument for why those claims still do not have life?
Well, we would start with a whole list of reasons why we can't see how the court would even reach that. The first being, if Lobolo Watts does not prevail on the first issue regarding the interpretation of the circuit breakers, the case doesn't proceed to whether there's delay compensation for circuit breakers.
And is that because the requests from the subcontractors included only the circuit breakers as you read them?
Right. As we read those pass-through claims, there's no other that when the standard is notice, adequate notice of the basis of the claim, there's no notice of any basis other than the circuit breakers in there. And so if the circuit breakers were Lobolo Watts's responsibility all along, there's no basis to go and evaluate whether the subcontractors can obtain compensation for that. But even as to undisputed issues, we don't see how the within this appeal, as far as looking at the scope of this appeal, we don't see how the court even gets to the question of the release, because the board found that those circuit breakers did not delay the overall course of the project, the critical path of the project. Lobolo Watts doesn't present to this court a challenge to that factual finding. It doesn't say the board was wrong, the circuit breakers did delay the at least in any way we can really genuinely understand. So if there's
setting aside the circuit breakers for a moment, that as I understand Lobolo's position and reaffirmed today, is that the circuit breakers were not the only problem here. There were various other problems, including up until November and December of 2013, the periods that Mr. Ackman identified as government delay. So is your argument, if you accept that Mod 30 did not waive the subcontractor's pass-through rights, and if you take, as Mr. Browdy argues, that the contract subcontractors were in fact claiming total delay, not just delay attributable to the circuit breakers, is your argument with respect to the non-circuit breaker related delay that there was concurrent delay throughout that entire period?
Right, concurrent delay at least. And so if you look at the board's findings, for example, and citing as an example, Appendix 2878, as of October 2013, Lobolo Watts had communication with its subcontractors that the substation, the one it was solely responsible for, not this building 8905, but that intermediate substation that it had to build, it's still leaking rainwater. We need to get this remedied so that we can be ready to get power. And so as the board chronicled, the Lobolo Watts was the one that was having the problems and not in a position to receive permanent power. So anything that was happening in building 8905, which might have involved the government, it just didn't matter because Lobolo Watts wasn't ready for the power to be turned on there anyway.
Well, that was October, but the ultimate commissioning did not occur until late December, as I recall. So there's a period in there, which is the period, the very period that Mr. Ackman identified as having some government delay. So what do you say about that period after October, November, and December of 2013?
In our view, Your Honor, that period is all covered by at least concurrent delay based on the board's determination that there were continuing problems with that substation as one thing. But also, just broadly, more broadly, we cannot find something in which the government has not yet taken responsibility. The government issued generous modifications in time and money here. We can't find something in which the government can be held accountable but hasn't yet issued a modification that covers it.
When was the new substation ready to receive power, counsel?
Sorry, Your Honor, I have to check my notes.
A question which is not going to be answered.
I apologize, Your Honor. I see I'm out of time. I don't have the answer.
You can answer the question if you can.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I can't. I don't have the answer right in front of me. I apologize.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Volk. Mr. Browdy, we'll give you 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you. One is that MTO, which is the Maryland Procurement Office, which is an arm of the National Security Agency, the administrative, they faulted because of the power problem. went about and said, oh, there's screws out on the new substation. But all that took place in September, early September of 2013. The power was not turned on or provided until December 24th, 2013. So that was 3 months later. What the parties did, and that's the idea, is that the contracting officer and Lebola Watts sat down and analyzed, and they took off when they agreed upon the 210 calendar days of power delays caused by the government. They took off where this, the new substation problems were. They subtracted 35 days as far as I understand, based upon the time impact analysis. And that's what they were supposed to do under the scheduling of delays. The parties weren't supposed to litigate it. What the subcontractor, what the contracting officer said in her letters of December of 2013. Okay, we're seeing the circuit breakers is Lebola Watts's responsibility. So that 4 months goes off, okay? On the 7 months, as long as you, Warner, and Watts confine your claim to those 7 months that we found was the government's responsibility because of the relay problem, the current transformer problems, the phasing problems, you know, we will consider it.
Now, Mr. Browdy, what is the appendix site for the document you were just referencing?
The December letters, I'm sorry, one is 1335. And the other one is 2181.
All right, thank you.
One's on Warner and one's on Watch. And saying, look, there's merit to the subs, but you got to confine it to these other delays.
Thank you. Is your argument? Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Judge Cunningham.
Oh, thank you. Does your argument that the delay is attributable to the government turn on the application of the McMullen presumption?
The board was wrong on the McMullen presumption being overturned. The Contract Disputes Act did knock it out for a final decision of the contracting officer, an interim final decision of the contracting officer, but not to the parties' agreement. That's what the whole idea is. I was a contracting officer. I was going to law school. You're supposed to make an agreement. You're not supposed to litigate every delay claim that comes down the pipe. You're supposed to analyze the schedule, analyze the current schedule, and make an agreement. And that's what they did on the mod DX, I think it is 30.
Mr. Gotti, one question. Did you respond, or did the contractors respond to the two letters from the contracting officer that you referred to? Because I don't see a response.
I don't think so.
So they never made a claim specifically addressed to
those 7 months,
right?
Because they felt that they were also entitled to the entire 11 months. They were entitled, and they still do, to the delay caused by the circuit breakers. And I do too.
Thank you, counsel. We have to employ a circuit breaker here. And we appreciate the arguments of both counsel and the cases submitted.